What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Tuesday, July 24th, 2018. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the busiest lady in the business, Andrea Renee.
What's good, Greg?
This shirt!
Thank you.
If you are not watching, or if you're listening, I guess, you're driving your car, pull your car over. Andrea took the Kind of Funny Games Daily t-shirt and put it into she put it into a sexy women's cut.
I did not ruin it. Listen.
She improved it.
Beautiful. I 100% understand from a business reason why Kind of Funny and Kind of Funny Games have very limited ladies cut apparel options.
Remember when you wanted the Kind of Honey shirt? We made it. Sold 8.
People, they don't sell. I get it. But that being said, I prefer my clothing styles to have a little bit different cut than the standard men's
boxy
t-shirt cut.
Yeah.
Correct. I don't have those kinds of shoulders.
You bought a unisex small.
Yeah, so this is
cut
a small.
Cut the sleeves.
Yeah, so I've trimmed the sleeves so they're short.
Uh-huh.
And then I cut an upside down triangle out, but left the collar in.
Sure.
Because this ringer style is very in right now.
Yeah, I like this a lot. Tara Bruno would
And it's got a little peekaboo window so you can see my Hunter Destiny necklace.
Yeah. You always have good necklaces. I like the one that's the A, but it's like a sideways A.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's one of my faves.
Makes you think, Kevin.
What does it make you think, dude?
Is that an A or an era? And they're like, nah, it's an A.
Also, fresh.
Yeah.
Not Outback Slogan.
No, yeah.
Outback Steakhouse.
What do you call
eat
that?
Fresh?
No, that's Eat Fresh is Subway's logo.
He knows.
I think Subway's is Get It Down Under.
Yeah, that's right.
If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday is what? On a variety of platforms. We run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. KindaFunny.com/KFGD with your questions, comments, concerns, everything under the video game sun. Then watch us record it live on twitch.tv/KindaFunnyGames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to KindaFunny.com/YoreWrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you before we get started. It is party mode week. We do a multiplayer show on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. And I know what you're thinking. You're in your car, listening to a podcast. You're walking the dog, listening to a podcast. So many of you listen to the shows that you don't even really ever go to the YouTube channel, which I understand. But remember, Party Mode is a YouTube-only show. We'd love it if you went over there and checked us all being dorks and nerds and idiots. Andy puts a lot of time into editing them and making them more than just staring at a camera playing a video game. I suggest today, Trailblazers. One of the good ones. One of the unloved ones. Go over to Party Mode on YouTube.com/KindaFunnyGames. Check it out. Also, next week, it is Kind of Funny Summer Break. No Kind of Funny Morning Show. No Kind of Funny Games Daily.
Did you plan that because you knew it was my birthday next week?
Exactly. We wanted to give you so much time to just get, taken care of. Have John pamper you.
And then he's going to be gone.
You're going RTX.
Oh,
we're going RTX.
So sad.
Yeah, we're calling it summer break because we haven't taken any of the holidays of the summer off or even this year off. But then we're also just coming in and working real hard and getting ahead on party modes and getting ahead on XCU and review and a bunch of other stuff. So, no daily shows next week. Still getting Game Over Greggy show. Still getting party mode. Still getting Gamescast. And then we'll be back in August. And then today's sponsor is Hims MeUndies and Omaha Steaks, but I'll tell you about all that later.
Oh, snap.
For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. 4 items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
That's a generous 4.
It's a generous 4. Yeah, it's rough out there, ladies and gentlemen. All right. Yeah,
it's real slow.
When you see number 3 on there, you know I'm struggling. I am struggling to get you some news. But hey, whatever in the news of the day is, that's how it works. That's
exactly
how Kind of Funny Games Daily is here for you. Number 1, Keza McDonald.
Oi, governor.
You know Keza from it used to be at IGN. Now she's over at The Guardian. She's still in the UK. She sat down with Todd Howard and talked a little bit about other developers making Fallouts, along with a bunch of other stuff. You should go read Keza's interview with Todd Howard at The Guardian. But here's an interesting blurb. In 2010, Bethesda plugged the long gap between its own Fallout games by letting another developer, Obsidian, give the series a spin. The result was Fallout New Vegas, a game that used Bethesda's technology but had a different style of writing and characterization, filling in more shades of gray in the game's moral choices. According to Howard, this isn't something that Bethesda plans to do again. Quote, I wouldn't say never, he says, but now that our company is so big, it's always better to keep stuff internal. It becomes less likely, and I could never say never. I thought the Obsidian guys did a fabulous job, end quote. That's heartbreaking. New Vegas was so good, people love New Vegas. Some thought it was the best Fallout. I'm not saying. You know, I'm not going out on that limb. I never beat it. I thought Fallout 3 is the best Fallout I ever played. But
fake fan.
Hey, you know what? I got the platinum in Fallout 4, Kevin. You're the Ooh. Fake fan.
There certainly was.
Champ anymore.
That's true.
You want me to just leave you two alone for a minute?
No, it's fine. We'll get done.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry about that. I agree that there's clearly a fan base for games like New Vegas, and Bethesda has their hands full with whatever, you know, is coming down the pipeline, which we know is Starfield, yeah. and of course, Elder Scrolls 6.
Fallout 76, too.
So why wouldn't they want to maybe outsource something to keep Fallout fans, you know, appeased on the long road that Bethesda Game Studios has to whatever's after Fallout 76 for the Fallout franchise, right?
I guess it's interesting into what Todd's saying, right, is that the team's so much bigger now. I feel like the Bethesda of 2018 is much different than the Bethesda of 2010.
And oh, so absolutely.
You figure that if you're going to keep having an E3 conference, you're going to keep bringing Pete Hines out here to shuck and jab and say, here are my wares! If you're going to keep bringing out and announcing new games, I guess rather than let another developer using your IP compete with your new IP, you wanna, I guess, push people towards your Preys, towards your Wolfensteins, towards Evil Within. Even though they're not necessarily the same thing, you want people starting to believe in that Bethesda brand a bit more.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, I agree with that statement.
Okay, good. So we solved it. Thank you, Kev. We're getting things
so
done.
Got it. Old champ.
Kevin, don't call me the old champ. You know I hate that. Kevin, can you ask Cool Greg to make me a coffee, too? I'm in a very good mood. I feel like we're going to have a lot of good conversations here today. And a cup of Joe would fit nicely. You know what I'm saying, Andrew?
Yeah.
Number two. Sean Murray over on the old No Man's Sky release here. Of course, No Man's Sky Next stuff's coming out. It's getting the patch over on PlayStation. It's finally coming over to Xbox. All that jazz. Put up a blog post talking about the entire journey. Here are two interesting paragraphs from it. Whilst I couldn't be prouder of the team, I personally made mistakes. I could talk all day about things I personally would change. Certainly, one regret is that the intensity and drama of launch left no room for communication with the community. We decided instead to focus on development rather than words. Following Foundation, Pathfinder, and Atlas Rises, we really want to include you, the community, more. Lovely letter up over there, talking about, you know, the going from a team of six to where they are now to getting this game out. And again, it's, for me, heartwarming to see Sean Murray tweeting again. If that's just, it's such a little thing, but like quote tweeting the thing of like, there's finally hype for No Man's Sky. And he's like, uh-oh. You know what I mean? Of like,
yeah.
I'm still blown away. I think you were on the show we talked about last time with this, right? Where it was, it's a success story from something I really didn't think they'd be able to turn around, Andrea.
It is from what we've seen, but after the episode last week of What's Good Games and also the episodes of Kind of Funny
What's
Games.
What's Good Games? What's that?
That's the podcast that I do.
Oh, where can I get that?
You can get that at youtube.com/What's Good Games. And we have a special guest. Miss Alana Pierce is back on the show this week. Yeah.
Okay.
It's going to be great. But we posted that episode where we talked about it at length. You and I talked about it last week. Mm. I was surprised, like genuinely surprised, how many people are still like vehemently angry.
Oh, yeah.
About No Man's Sky.
Yeah.
Like, they're still really, like, just salty as fuck about
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why? Why are you holding on to that anger?
Isn't that the
man?
Internet? That's what the internet does.
I know, but like,
fool me once for my $60.
You gotta let that shit go.
I agree.
You know?
Like, I agree.
You either made the play to get your money back in the moment, or like, you resigned yourself that you were gonna play it one day, and now that one day is today.
Yeah.
You know, they've put out all of these content patches, they've apologized profusely.
Yeah.
Like, what more do you want? Are people not allowed to make mistakes?
Yeah.
I mean, I know you guys were talking about other kinds of mistakes people make on the morning show today.
Those mistakes are coming up later. Don't worry, we got a question.
You know, and
about
so
that.
It's just like, I don't understand like what people have to do to say like, I'm sorry, we screwed it up, yeah, we're trying to make it right. Like, at what point do you give them the chance to do that?
What's fascinating about it for me is that, again, not to, you know, beat the drum I was beaten before, I would have handled it differently, right? I would have been communicating up front immediately all over the Twitter, whereas Sean and team and Hello Games went with the opposite. We're going to close down, batten down the hatches, and get this game made. And I think, even though that was a different path than I took, it got them to where they are now, to where, hey, everybody, we've got kind of the game you wanted, if not exactly the game you wanted, and we've done this. And it speaks to them not cutting and running. It speaks to them not changing their name. As we've talked about developers on this show that put out a turd and then are like, we're going to change the name. I'm like, it's Sean Murray not hiding again as he's out doing interviews. He is talking. Like, you're right. It might not be the way people in the moment wanted. You know, what was it? However many years ago? I wish I had the chalkboard. However many years ago? Don't you're wrong either. But in the end, they got there. They got there on their own terms in their own way, but they never gave up. Even though that's the problem with why you'd be salty about it, right? Is I understand being salty because it seems like you were being ignored. But as he's talking about here, right, with all these different patches, with everything you've seen, when you talk about Foundation, Pathfinder, Atlas Rises, and now Next, it was, hey, we are working on this. Hey, we are going to get there. And that might not be what you want to hear. It might not have been news delivered to you the way it wanted to, but I do think that this is a case of, wow, they were fucking committed. It sounds like it's great. I haven't played it. It sounds like it's great, and it sounds like they deserve forgiveness for this, right? That what you're saying, it is a learning experience for everybody, for a small team that, you know, as he's talking about here, right? Like, personally, I made mistakes and talking about how it just got out of control for him. I'm still impressed they did it, that they didn't cut and run, that nothing changed, that...
Same.
Yeah. I think I'm not even going to name names, but there's so many developers we do know that over promise, don't deliver, and then the game even gets canceled, just goes away. Thank you, Cool Greg.
Well, I agree with the people who are saying that, to a certain extent at least, that there is an argument to be made that it should never have happened in the first place. Sure. I mean, but, you know, this is the moment we're in now.
Yeah.
Like, we can't go back to the beginning. And, like, while I don't want to condone other developers clearly botching their launches and, you know, over-promising and under-delivering, when it does happen in this instance, you know, if they have in good faith shown that they're going to fix it, I think that we need to have an adult conversation about, like, are we ready to just move on from this? You know, right. It's just like the idea of, like he says here, about focus on development rather than words. You know, don't tell me, show me.
Yeah.
Right. And and they did. And so I applaud them for, like you said, like sticking it out and putting in the work to make it right. And I hope that we can now like put this to bed.
Yeah. I hope it comes out and it gets stellar reviews and everybody's happy. And that's the end. And you actually get to look. I'm sure they just wanted to be able to take a breath.
Yeah.
And feel like they didn't fail everybody. And I think it's pretty proof positive they didn't. So that's awesome. I want to give a shout out to Cool Greg. When I saw him come in with the Snowmag mug, I was going to send him back. Because I can't use the Snowman mug unless it has been filled out with chalk as to how many days are till Christmas. And he did it. Apparently, 154 days till Christmas.
Wow.
He knew what a weirdo I am and that I would want that. Thank you very much, Cool Greg.
Also, 154 days were that close?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
I looked at the calendar yesterday. I'm like, holy fuck, next week's August. Like, where did July go, Kevin? Where did it go? Here's number three, which is a thin one, but I think we can have a conversation about it, all right? Stick with me, Andrea. Number three, Shadow of the Tomb Raider has gone gold. This is via the Tomb Raider Twitter. Over there, they write, Shadow of the Tomb Raider has gone gold. Lara's defining moment is out of Eidos Montreal's hardworking hands and on its way to manufacturing. Shadow of the Tomb Raider will be available for the Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and Windows PC/Steam on September 14th. Then you added in all caps, you can pet alpacas, and put a YouTube link.
So they released a brand new 9-minute gameplay trailer today showcasing one of the world hubs called Paititi, which we spoke about a little bit at the Shadow of the Tomb Raider panel that I moderated down at Comic-Con, which was really fun.
How was your Comic-Con?
My Comic-Con was awesome. It was really fun. I got to do three really fantastic panels. I got to come by Petco and see all the crazy kids out there. And then, of course, one of my highlights was the meet and greet at Skybound.
Yeah.
Because it was intimate enough that we actually got to have conversations with a lot of the best friends, which almost never happens at Kind of Funny events because there's just so many people.
Right. And then Troy Baker snubbed you.
He did. He didn't even come over and say hi.
What a piece of shit Troy Baker is. You know what I mean? You've heard it before, but now you know.
I mean, I like him a lot.
The literally was like within off. Feet of him.
Horrible.
Didn't bother.
Horrible. Nolan North said hi. You know what I mean? Terrible. You want to hear this question from Austin about Shadow of the Tomb Raider?
Of course I do.
Austin writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD. I don't know for sure if it's Austin Walker from Waypoint, but we're going to assume it is. Austin Walker from Waypoint says, with the announcement that Shadow of the Tomb Raider has just gone gold, I am reminded by the fact that this game is releasing in a window with a ton of other high-profile AAA releases. Spider-Man comes out just a week before, and the likes of Assassin's Creed and Red Dead launch even a month after its release. This then begs the question, is Square Enix just releasing this game to let it die? From the gameplay previews I've seen, it doesn't look as game-changing as Rise of the Tomb Raider was from the Tomb Raider reboot. And I wonder if this was a rushed project only to finish the franchise and make way for other projects. Thanks for reading, Austin.
I can't tell you just how wrong you are about this, Austin. And obviously, this is a full disclosure, disclaimer, that I was brought down to San Diego by Square to host a panel about Tomb Raider. Because of that, I have a lot of knowledge about what exactly this game is, but you also might want to take what I say with a grain of salt because they paid me to host that panel. Sure. So I just want to get that out there.
Good disclosure, Andrew.
So this game, and listen, I'm with you. When I first saw this game at Judges Week after the announcement of it, I was skeptical. I was like, well, I don't know if this is the game that I want. I don't know if I'm ready for this. It's clearly launching in a very heavy window.
Crowded.
But the more I've seen, the more excited I've got.
Yeah.
And the thing that I'm really pumped about is this new difficulty system that they've built in. So in addition to all of the gameplay elements that they've discussed, how these like terrifying tombs and how you go down into the ground, and they've built in, you know, some classic rappel mechanics.
And like how it was in Rise of the Tomb Raider, right? You were rising, you were going up towards the light. Here you're right. Really going down. The game is darker.
Darker, scarier, like heavier themes. It's really like about Lara like becoming like peak Tomb Raider, really discovering more of her powers. You've got the stealth in combat where you can go out of stealth into combat and then retreat from combat and go back into stealth. You can like cover yourself in mud and go like Rambo in the jungle. Like, so all of that stuff is really cool. But the thing that I really liked about the difficulty system that we discussed at the panel is that it lets me tailor and customize the gameplay to how I want to play. So if I want to like ratchet combat all the way up to maximum difficulty, but I don't really want the difficulty of the puzzles, I can do that. Because
so are these sliders? I'm not familiar with this.
So we discussed this at the panel. There's individual sliders for combat, traversal, and puzzles. Oh. So that way, if you want to like have really hard puzzles, you know, in the previous Tomb Raider games, there's like white markings about where you're supposed to go.
Right.
You can take those completely away if you want to. Or you can make it like maximum brightness so like the paint stands out from really far away.
Okay.
And same with traversal, because when I first played the demo back at Judges Week, I fell off, or at the reveal event, I fell off the edge of the world or the edge of the walkways like 25 times and impaled myself. Yeah. Just died repeatedly. So it's like,
you're a masochist. I just wanted to see the animation.
It's true. I love that they are letting players customize their experience. If you want to go maximum difficulty on all of the sliders, you can do that, or you can bring it down on all of the sliders. And on top of that, they're building in additional accessibility functionality for people who need and want those features as well.
Interesting.
So I'm really excited about that. And moreover, getting a chance to really have some off-the-cuff conversations with Earl Balin, the voice actor who plays Jonah, and really kind of hearing his kind of like behind-the-scenes perspective on like where his character is going is really fascinating. And I'm really glad that they've kind of made him a much bigger role this time around, because in the first couple of gameplay sequences that we saw when they first revealed this game, Laura really kind of looked like a selfish asshole. Like,
totally.
To not like mince words. Like, I was like, I don't know if I want to play her. She seems like she's kind of gotten into this really like uppity place where she's like, I'm the Tomb Raider and I can do everything. And he's there to be like, nah, you're not.
Yeah.
You actually aren't. And also like, you totally started the Mayan apocalypse and now you got to fix it.
Yeah.
And he's there to kind of like remind her. And so I'm really excited to see like how that dynamic is going to play out over the course of the game.
From when we played at Judges Week, right, and being an admitted huge fan of what Crystal Dynamics has done with the last two games and then coming to this third one where they're partnering with Eidos Montreal. Doing the demo, they made a point of like, you know, we played some stuff, but they showed some stuff. And what they showed was Lara in downtime walking around a village talking to other people. And they point out the fact of like, this has never really happened in our games. It's all action. It's all her by herself. It's all like talking to some weirdo at the camp. You're like, oh, I guess so, right? And so to have Jonah around more to be a sounding board for ideas and further plots and have Lara explain what she's doing, especially in a game like this where I think the story is interesting. But my takeaway was, I was like, man, this is a dark ass game. You know what I mean? Like, is she going to be the bad guy in this kind of? Is he? You know, I'm sure that it'll turn out that the bad guy is the really bad guy. But even in the introduction of him, he, like, everybody in the town dug him. He seemed like he's trying not to, you know, start the end of the world.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's one of the things we discussed at the panel, too, was the how Lara as a character is approaching this line where she doesn't know if she has become the thing that she's fighting against.
Yeah.
Right? Like, has she become, you know, what Trinity represents.
Right, because now she's like a brutal killer, right? You see her like, you string the guy up in the tree and stab him a bunch of times, like, Jesus, you know what I mean? Like, she's not the same Tomb Raider, from Tomb Raider that, you know, the first time she killed the guy, sat there and like shook.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm interested to play it. I can't wait. Now, to Austin's question, I thought this was interesting. Is Square Enix just releasing this game to let it die? I don't think so. And I think one of the things I want to call out here is a bit inside baseball, but the fact that they're pushing the game gold this early. Where right now, right, during my Hall H panel for Marvel Games, Brian from Insomniac talked about the fact that they were about to launch like the final tour for Spider-Man, where they're going to a bunch of different cities and having press people come and play it and stuff like that, right? And it's going to be from the start, and that's why we started at Hall H, we showed the beginning of the game. I find it interesting that when a game goes gold, then it's the countdown to getting that in the hands of the press. And I would imagine that since they're out well in front of Spider-Man right now, which is releasing a week before them, saying they're gold, I think Square Enix is actually pretty cognizant of where they're releasing and what they need to do. Of like, fuck, we need to get this game into the hands of press so they can play it and understand that they like it and it's cool before Spider-Man gets to them. To give Lara at least a week or two maybe head start on people actually getting to play a game that's going to be big, right? They're bringing back the open world kind of environments, the not the open world hub cities, I guess, but for lack of a better term, to actually get in there and explore and do it so that it doesn't get lost. Because if this game was to drop into the hands of press after Spider-Man, I think with all due respect to this, it would be, holy shit, we have a brand new Spider-Man IP and it's great and it's like Spider-Man 2 and here's a million ideas for Spider-Man features where if you can get Shadow the Tomb Raider out there into their hands early, you have a better chance to resonate, right? Because this is what I was talking about leading into it and what I think gamers still do have to worry about. But my concern was when we talked about this on Gamescast of looking forward to it, you know, Tim asked me point blank, do you think you're going to beat this Tomb Raider? And I'm like, I hope so, but I could easily see where I don't. Where I am still trying to platinum Spider-Man when it comes. I'm screwing around with that. Okay, I start Rise of the Tomb Raider, but then it is Valkyria Chronicles 4. Then it is Assassin's Creed. Then it is Red Dead. And it's like, is the story of Shadow going to be so compelling that I finish it? I think getting it as early as you can into the hands of people to say that, no, evangelize it. It is good is a good sign.
Well, I think it's also important to remember that Spider-Man is a PS4 exclusive Tomb Raider is not. Great right? Point. It's going to be on Xbox One, PC, and PS4.
Thank God it's all coming out at once for a change.
And on top of that, Tomb Raider has a long legacy in video games and they have a massive fan base. So I don't think Spider-Man's going to steal all of the spotlight from Tomb Raider like at all. I don't think so. I think it's going to stand on its own.
It'll just be interesting to see if this is the one that gets the acclaim it deserves. Like, I don't think Rise did, probably because of the exclusive window. Even the reboot of Tomb Raider, people liked at the time, but it was, okay, cool. Like, I remember saying how much I liked it and how I was so enraptured with it, but I don't remember it getting, like, the drum beaten as loudly as I always thought it deserved.
See, okay. I've as loud as you thought it deserved, I could agree with, but I remember distinctly everyone talking about how much better that game was than the original Tomb Raider. How it built upon a lot of the gameplay mechanics that the reboot was trying to establish, but then they took it a step further and added more exploration, more hunting, more collectibles, more tombs. Because the first game had like just a handful of tombs.
Yeah.
And then they brought in more, and now this time they're going to be like a central feature in the game, which is going to be great, but
I can't wait. I think it's got tough, stiff competition. You know, you're a gamer out there. Where do your $60 keep going? But I hope it gets a shot, and I hope actually it does really well, because, again, really a fan of that franchise. Number four, I'm going to read right from a press release for you. The C64 has been announced. That's right. They're making a Commodore 64, basically a NES classic. Retro Games Limited and Solutions to Go announced today that the C64 Mini is coming to North American retail stores on October 9th, 2018. The C64 Mini, a 50% replica of the world's best-selling home computer that launched in 1982, comes preloaded with 64 classic games and the C64 joystick. Originally designed with fans of the original machine in mind, the C64 Mini is also attractive to kids and families thanks to its simple plug-and-play action. Aspiring gamers of yesteryear can revisit the past and program their own games, just add a keyboard. And the C64 Mini becomes a fully functional home computer, complete with C64 Basic.
And just to confirm, before you write into your wrong, yes, the C64 Mini was announced a few months ago. The news today is that they finally have a release date and some of the details about what is going to be in the box. Yeah,
I'm sure Jared Petty's doing that dance he does. He does this dance along. He's probably doing that at home right now. Very excited to program his own C64 games.
Well,
here's the news.
Listen, like, it's clearly like this isn't meant for us, but yeah, there's an audience for this. I didn't think people would like the mini Atari box, but man, a bunch of people bought that on Kickstarter.
Enjoy.
So just
fleeced on that, you sheep.
It's a lot. It's a lot of money. This is like $70.
Is it? Did it have a price on it? I missed it in the press release. If it did.
Yeah, I think so. Oh, I think the base version is $70
for C64 pricing, as Andrea looks for it as well. But also, Andrea, yes. I can't wait to find out how much the C64 costs, but I'm sure that answer is so far away. If I wanted content for this show right now, where would I go?
You would go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily show hosts each and every weekday.
Do, do, do,
$69.99. $70, just like I thought.
Yeah, it is, Kev. All right. Out today in the video game world. It's Tuesday. Strap in. Aces of the Luftwaffe Squadron on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Earhart, Tale of Broken Wings on the PlayStation 4. Bud Spencer and Terrence Hill, Slaps and Beans on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. And
okay, I like the game you guys were playing yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. Tim introduced me to a game him and Witta started playing where they don't look at it yet.
Okay.
Kevin, I need you to pull up a trailer for Bud Spencer and Terrence Hill, Slaps and Beans.
Kind of doing some stuff.
You're going to stop doing that right now and help me. What do you think Bud Spencer and Terrence Hill Slaps and Beans is?
I think it's a buddy comedy adventure game.
PlayStation 4, Xbox One.
About like a Mr. Potato Head type figure.
Okay, okay. I think what it's going to be is a cartoony characters on the side and then kind of like Puyo Puyo Tetris. Where like pieces okay. are falling, and that's then they're making slaps. You're making music, but they're also beans. So it's like they're making music as they go.
Oh, okay.
Well, Kevin, please literal. Show me the trailer for Bud Spencer and Terrence Hill. We're going to see who is right on what this kind of game is. Are you slapping it? If you're an audio listener,
we're going to describe
some great
it for
visuals.
You.
We are panning.
Okay, it looks kind of like the Walking Dead art style.
It looks
style.
Like we're in a kid's house. We're in our kid's room. Here's Bud Spencer. It's the logo for Bud Spencer.
It's Marston. That's what he looks like.
Here's the Trinity team.
All right. Oh, okay. This looks like old school. Like, what is this? Pixel art style? Like, back in the adventure game days?
It looks like something you see in an adventure game. He's flipping through two channels. He's excited. They're dragging a gun. Looks like it's going to be like Red Daddy.
Cowboys. But now we're back in modern times. I'm confused.
Terrence Hill.
TV show. They're watching a TV show.
Oh, no.
This is definitely an adventure game.
Wow. Now look. There's some platforming going on.
And it's a buddy adventure game, so I'm partially right here. I'm
is
feeling
it an
good.
Adventure game? We're car racing now. We're singing.
It's an adventure game. Look at it.
They're eating sausages.
Look at the
maybe
bubbles
bacon?
In that beer.
Oh man, that was a good deck. Oh wow, it's punching the head. All right, here we go. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying there looks like there's more moment to moment action. Now it's a side scrolling beat 'em up. Oh my god.
What is happening? Oh, slaps. What?
That guy's in a gimp costume. KindaFunny.com/you're wrong right now. I need to know.
I kind of want to play.
What
this
are the trophies like in Slaps and Beans here? Because this is a weird ass game for sure. All right, that's Bud Spencer and Terrence.
But why
Hill,
the beans?
Why okay, they're eating beans? You know, what do you eat on when you're a cowboy out there? Eat some beans.
That's true. You do.
Is this an actual show?
It's a game.
No.
He's right. Oh, Terrence Hill and Bud Spencer, great Mexican slap, and it's actual video footage of like an old show.
Oh, I shouldn't show this.
Oh yeah, probably. Let's not get it. All right, you keep looking. I see you're already typing away. You get into it. Candle, the Power of Flame comes to PlayStation 4. Detached comes to PlayStation VR. Grand Theft Auto Online gets its After Hours update on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. Mega Man X Legacy Collection 1 and Mega Man X Legacy Collection 2 come to the PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Switch. Narcosis comes to PlayStation 4. No Man's Sky comes to Xbox One. And of course, the update comes to PS4 and PC. The Persistence comes to PlayStation 4. Phil's Epic Philippics Adventure comes to PlayStation 4. Semblance comes to Switch. Toby, The Secret Mind comes to Switch. Train Sim World comes to PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. And then V-Robot comes to PlayStation 4. Meanwhile, Metal Gear Solid 5 is getting an update. This is from IGN. As announced by Konami, a new update has come to Metal Gear Solid 5 for the first time in nearly a year. Available today, the update allows players to control Quiet in FOB missions, where you can infiltrate other players' forward operating bases. The update also includes new online development items and a new difficulty level for event FOBs. Did you find me some information on Bud Spencer and
this
Terrence
is a
Hill?
Crazy rabbit hole.
Here we go.
So Bud Terrence Spencer Hill. And Terrence Hill have 20 movies together. And Bud Spencer, his real name is Carlo Pietrasoli. Okay. Is an Italian actor and a professional swimmer and water polo player. Apparently all these movies were like in the 60s. And early 70s.
All you Bud and Terrence fans, they're back for you.
This is wild. I had no idea.
Spaghetti Westerns then?
Looks like it, yeah. All right, wow. All right, we learned something. New dates for you. Boundless is coming to PlayStation 4 and PC on 9/11. It's also that time of year where everybody tries to reframe their dates as being the 11th of September, which I'm always a fan of when that just starts. People start trying to say that. Guacamelee 2 is coming August 21st to PlayStation 4 and PC. Warlocks 2, God Slayers is coming to Switch and Steam October 2018. The Inner World and The Inner World, The Last Wind Monk is coming to Switch August 3rd. And then Green Hell is coming to PC Early Access August 29th. Andrea.
Yes.
It's time to check in with the readers.
Let's do it.
But first, it's the rare, rare, rare occasion where we have three sponsors. First is Hims. Did you know that 66% of men lose their hair by age 35? And the thing is, once you start to notice hair loss, it's too late. Do something now with 4hims.com. 4hims.com is a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, sexual wellness, and more for men. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional. Hims connects you with real doctors and medical-grade solutions to treat your hair loss. You get well-known generic equivalents to name-brand prescriptions to help you keep your hair. Andy and Nick are using this stuff right now. They are eating the gummies. They're keeping their hair. They're doing other stuff. It's very simple. They say you go on, you send photos. The doctor gives you stuff. There you go. You're assigned. No waiting room. No awkward doctor visits. My listeners can get a trial month of Hims for just $5 right now while supplies last. See the website for full details. This would cost hundreds if you went to a doctor or a pharmacy. Go to 4hims.com/gamesdaily. That's FORHIMS.com/gamesdaily. 4hims.com/gamesdaily. Then it's MeUndies. You've definitely heard me talk about MeUndies before. You know that I wear them each and every day. I threw away the rest of my underwear. Why? They're comfortable. They send the underwear to your house. They have fun patterns. It's easy. You don't have to go to Walgreens anymore and try on the underwear there and get yelled at for trying on underwear.
Don't ever try on underwear in Walgreens. That's
you
a
know
thing
what?
You don't do.
If they wanted me to try it on in a fitting room, they'd give me a fitting room, Andrea.
Don't try
Thank
underwear
you.
On.
You get incredible underwear sent to your door with MeUndies, meaning no more hunting around for the perfect pair. If you're already part of the MeUndies fam, tell your friends about it through their referral program. You'll get a discount. And they'll get a discount. You'll get store credit. It's win-win. Not sure? Well, MeUndies has a deal for you, the listeners. First-time purchasers get 15% off their first pair of MeUndies and free shipping. That's 15% off plus free shipping and a guarantee that you and your MeUndies will be very happy together or your money back. Get your butt over to MeUndies.com and treat yourself. Get 15% off your first pair, free shipping, a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go to MeUndies.com/gamesdaily. That's MeUndies.com/gamesdaily. And the final sponsor for today, Omaha Steaks. How many times do I have to tell you we love Omaha Steaks? Kevin, tell them.
We love them so much.
They send them here. We make them on the grill. We enjoy them. I sent them to my father once. He sends them back so much he enjoys them. I talked about them so much. Andrea bought them for her husband, John Drake.
I am so happy with my purchase.
Yeah?
So delicious.
Summer is here. What better way to kick off the grilling season than buying Omaha Steaks? Right now, you can get 24. I had to reread that to make sure. 24 of the butcher's favorites with grill ready collection for $40. That's
Remember
right.
Remember, we did what? The math.
The math is insane.
It's
We've
like,
talked
it's
about
like
this.
It's like $1.70
they
roughly.
They send you
per
the meat,
meat
vacuum sealed. You
Less
put
than
it in
$2.
Your freezer, you cook it right away, and it's delicious. Here you go. Right now, Omaha Steaks is giving a limited time offer to our listeners for the summer. Go to omahasteaks.com, type KF Games, all one word, in the search bar, and you can get this Omaha Steaks grill ready collection for just $39.99. That's 80% off. Here's what you get. 2 tender filet mignons, 2 beefy top sirloins, 4 juicy boneless pork chops, 4 boneless chicken breasts, 4 all beef Omaha Steak burgers, 4 traditional kielbasa sausages, 4 award-winning gourmet jumbo franks, 1 Omaha Steak seasoning packet, plus you'll get 4 of their made-from-scratch caramel apple tartlets for free. Again, this is a limited time package for just $39.99 when you go to omahasteaks.com. Type KF Games in the search bar and get the grill ready collection in your cart. Don't wait. You want to get this offer soon before summer is over. Go to omahasteaks.com, type KF Games in the search bar, grab your friends and family, and fire up the grill. You have a backyard?
I do. It's lovely.
We should grill sometime.
Yeah, we should.
Yeah, we should all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Come on down to the peninsula. You know, it's sunny South and beautiful Bay. There right
it's
now, and it's cold and gross up here.
Yeah, it's true.
But that's why we like it up here, because it's fine. You know what I mean? We get to... Kevin, I'm going to borrow your mind for a second, all right?
Oh.
We have a question. I want you in on this one because it's about stocks. Oh. Barack Obama. That's right. President Barack Obama wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, greetings, KFGDC crew. Kind of funny games. Yeah, we didn't need to see. Do you think video games are currently in a bubble similar to the dot-com bubble of the 90s, the housing bubble of 2008, or the oil bubble of 2014? The share price of EA, Activision, and Take-Two have all skyrocketed in the last 5 years, with Take-Two up 646% alone. This is largely due to sales and increased revenue from microtransactions. I can see three scenarios that would lead to trouble in the video game industry. One, microtransactions end up being a temporary fad and people stop spending money on them. Two, the average age of gamers is going up, and as people start developing families, they have less time to buy new video games. Three, as games as a service become more popular, people will dedicate their time to a select few games and not buy as many newer games. Anyway, let me know what you think. Is the video game industry flying too close to the sun? And play that chicken, some Michael Bublé.
Yeah, you should. Michael Bublé is great. This is interesting. I don't think that it's flying too close to the sun from the reasons you've listed here. I think what could potentially break any bubble that's existing in the games industry today is the sheer amount of people who are creating games. There's just
sure.
too much to choose from. And because of that, everyone suffers. It's kind of like the opposite of a rising tide lifts all boats, whatever the opposite euphemism is for that.
The tides are sinking small ships.
But I think with that, like, those companies aren't all trading
publicly.
Yeah, publicly. So it's
most of them aren't, in fact.
Yeah, no, I know. So it's the bigger companies that will, I think, get fine-tuned and figure out what works for them, and those companies will continue to grow and become bigger. And
that's the thing is, yeah. I don't think every publisher is going to see a 646% growth
right, no.
over a 6 years or 5 years.
Well,
right?
I mean, that was 100% due to GTA 5.
And that's the thing. Here's what I want to go by the numbers you put in here, Barack Obama. Number two, you say, well, the average game age of gamers is going up as people start developing families. They have less time to buy new games. What that means is that as we've all aged into games, I'm not going to stop playing games like so many people did in junior high, right? And a lot of people still do. But I'm saying that the market for games is only getting larger. Kids are still going to always love games. And as games continue to age with us, yeah, even if I start a family, if I'm in the middle of the country and I don't have as much time for games and I start a family, there's still going to be a game or two a year that calls me out to go do it, right? So I think
right.
that just widens the market and leaves room for more money.
And there's more devices every year that you can play video games on.
Big Kev?
I think as you get older, too, you have more money to spend on those. It's the same thing. Where
you don't have
the
disposable income necessarily as you start getting resources or responsibilities.
But like that's the thing. Like people have different hobbies. Like where before people might want to be like, oh, I'm going to spend my money going out to drink. Well, now I can spend
that
money.
That's a good point.
On
but then he talks about, number three, as games as a service become more popular, people dedicate their time to one thing, which I also think plays into number one, microtransactions end up being a temporary fad and people stop spending on them.
Microtransactions 100% are not a fad. Yeah. The only threat to microtransactions is
predatory microtransactions.
Well, I mean, sure, I would not even make that argument. I would say legislation around gambling in microtransactions in different countries throughout the world.
Yeah.
We're seeing different countries take different approaches on how they want microtransactions to be governed by their respective governments.
Yeah.
And as long as people want to buy things in games, microtransactions will exist. I mean, I think Fortnite is a good poster child for this. Look at how many skins they sell in that game.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, people have no problem with microtransactions, despite what the internet may make you believe. I tried to make this argument last year, and I just got labeled, you know, a shill.
Corporate apologist, I believe, is what they said.
This is like, people want to buy what they want to buy.
Yep.
And as long as games give them the opportunity to do so, they will. And there's nothing wrong with that as long as there's transparency about what you're getting. So I think that the legislation that's being looked at around microtransactions is important from a transparency perspective. When you guys talked about Psyonix just yesterday finally released their drop rates. I think we just need more of that from companies, but I don't think they're at risk for what he says here as a temporary fad. I don't think that that's
going to
happen.
And I think just one and three play hand in hand into the same thing we're talking about with Take-Two being up, you know, more than 640% is the fact that, if you're going to get dialed into one game, then microtransactions are going to be a big part of that game if they're done right and correctly. And I think that if you see a game being super successful, Fortnite, GTA Online, et cetera, you're going to see also they're doing microtransactions right. is right. the inverse of Battlefront, right? Where it's like that kept people away, or vocal people away. And I mean, it still did well, don't get me wrong. Right. But it is that thing that tends to put a smudge on it that make people not want it to be the shiny thing. Whereas when you see people obsessed with games, it's a different thing. So they're doing something right outside of just gameplay, usually. So yeah, not everyone is going to go kill it in the stock market game. But I don't think you're going to see a crash where everything goes to hell. Knock on wood. I'm more worried about an EMP going off. Because once that happens, I got nothing to do. I got no skills. What am I going to talk about?
You know? Play some board games.
Oh, my God. I'd literally pick up the ice pick and go, gotcha. You know what
you
I mean?
You hate tabletop that much?
No, Monopoly. They knocked it out of the park on Monopoly, and there's no. We don't need any of these other ones,
oh
all right?
Oh, my gosh.
Connect 4 is not bad.
Connect 4 really good?
What, you don't like Connect 4?
No.
You think you're too good for that shit?
I just can't figure it out. Yeah, I lose all the time, and I don't know why. Doug wrote in. TheKindOfFunny.com/KFGD and says, Happy Tuesday, Greg and Andrea. Angry Greg voice. Greg, why on earth would you not play Fortnite on your Xbox One X when you are at home and have a TV to yourself? Normal voice. Don't get me wrong. Everybody has their preferences. But it seems like your main argument against playing on the X is that you don't want to have to update. Pro tip. Set it to auto-update, and it will always update at the same time as PlayStation 4. I mean, you're probably looking at 5 to 10 minutes at the most. It's not like a PC, and you will forever be updating drivers, flashing BIOS, F-disking, changing the oil. Okay, I don't know a lot about PCs. Anyway, let the Xbox out of its cage. I think you will be impressed. I sure was. Thanks, and I hope you have a great show. P.S. I thought Snowbike Mikes and Cheeks Jr. did an amazing job last week, so I took your advice and will be updating my Patreon pledge. Remember,
thanks, Doug.
If you want us to hire anybody else, you need to up your Patreon pledges. No, Doug, you wrote in echoing a couple of other kids who wrote in too. Yesterday, I did one of those like, an Xbox jab and walked away, and people really took it to heart. So if you're catching up, play Fortnite on the Switch mainly. When I go home, I put the Switch in the dock and still play on Switch, even though I have the Xbox One X there. The main reason I don't switch over to the Xbox One X isn't that I hate my Xbox. It's the fact that I still don't feel the buttons on the Switch controller are second nature to me. B and A, X and Y is still a very weird thing for me. And so I don't want to. And also, that's one of my reasons. I want to master that controller. The second reason, of course, being is that as people are always like, everybody playing on Switch for Fortnite's a bunch of babies. You're right. We are. We're all learning how to play Fortnite, and it's nice to win. It's nice to have a shot. So I just haven't made the jump over until I feel so comfortable that it's second nature on Switch. Kevin, I see you have something from the Kind of Funny press pool.
Aren't the buttons the exact same on the Xbox controller?
You mean in terms of layout or in terms of what they're labeled?
Layout.
Yeah, 100%.
It's different.
100%
like,
layouts.
In my mind, I still have to convert to PlayStation before, like when it's like press A, and I'm like, what's it?
All I just right, it's circle. The amount of times I still do, like, I just want it all to be second nature. And I'm close, mm-hmm. but the amount of times when I'm like, all right, let's launch into, you know, matchmaking, and it brings up the thing of like, do you want to do solos or do it? Like, motherfucking, you know, where's the X? You know what I mean?
Gotta hit square, man. You know what I mean? Right
no,
here.
I can't. Right I don't want to do that. I don't want to rethink it that way. And then somebody else wrote in of just like, you know, for somebody who plays as much Fortnite as you guys do, like, you should probably just play it to have an idea of what it looks different on the Xbox One X. And
I was
like, that's a good point, too, actually. I should do a couple rounds just to see at least.
I don't think you play that much Fortnite. Every time I've been like, hey, let's play Fortnite, you're always like, ooh, I'm doing something else. I'm watching Akira.
I watched Akira last night, yeah.
It was a bad movie, right?
It was a bad movie.
Yeah.
I tell you what, like so many people on, I tweeted that I was getting ready to watch it, and everybody came out of the woodwork like, oh, it's my favorite film of all time, blah, 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 blah. Fucking and I dumb. Finished that movie, and I thought about tweeting it, and I was just like, internet's too negative already. I don't need to go in and rile anybody up.
Even right now, you're going to get a lot of...
oh, no, I just fucked everything up.
But I want to say right now, that movie, man... The storyline is so fucked up.
What the fuck is going on?
Turns out you have to read it. Like, it is like the middle story of a bunch of books.
Great, great. That sounds like a lot of fun. That sounds like a lot of fun. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everybody's like, the animation's so good. It looks so good. I'm like, Batman, the animated series looked better than this. All right? Give me Extreme Ghostbusters any day over Akira. All right? That's what I'm saying. But no, I should and I will kick the tires on it. And don't listen to Kevin. I play a lot of Fortnite. Vitz Patel writes in. TheKindOfFunny.com/KFGD and says, with the rumors about Project Scarlet appearing with streaming versions of the new console, etc., do you think that Microsoft will stick to their vision this time? It's a shame that they didn't stick to their vision with the always online model for Xbox One. But if the reaction is negative to this, will Microsoft change course again? Thanks, Vitz. First off, Andrea, you weren't here yesterday. What was your read on these Scarlet rumors?
I think it's very exciting. We've seen many different companies in the gaming industry start to talk about their digital-only plans and how they're going to address this giant shift from retail to digital, which is already underway, right? When the Xbox 720 was first rumored, right? We did not see this always online happening because we just didn't think anybody would have the balls to actually do that.
Sure.
And I remember it being incredibly controversial at E3 when Xbox showcased what Azure was and gave the behind closed doors tech demo of what the Xbox One was capable of. And I came away from it really impressed and really excited when at first I was like, I don't know how I feel about the Xbox One all-in-one entertainment device. I thought they leaned too hard into entertainment, and I think, you know, that really echoed across the gaming industry back then. But 2013, 2012, like when the box was, you know, revealed and first rumored, completely different landscape than where we're at today as far as digital distribution, online connectivity, streaming video services. Virtually every major media creator, from, you know, the major networks to small YouTube people, are streaming online. Like, you can find almost every show ever made in existence available in some kind of streaming format. So, yeah, it's about time that they went digital only. Makes sense.
You know, Vitz says, will they let's say this is real. Let's say Scarlet's real. Will they stick to their vision this time? I think the fact that they're putting out two in this rumored, but now we're saying, for argument's sake, real world, that they're putting out two boxes. One that, hey, here's the streaming solution. We'll say for $120. Here's the hardcore, hard ass machine that takes, you know, download all your games, do all your shit. That's, you know, $400. I think coming out and saying that is already sticking to the vision. If you, it's just an option. If you you imagine that, as I think one of the things that got kind of lost yesterday in doing the report was that they're talking about Scarlet as like a platform that could run on a whole bunch of devices. So even with the Xbox, you have your regular Xbox console Scarlet, there'd be a Scarlet app in there, I would assume, that's letting you stream all the games that way.
Right. Well, it sounds very similar to what Google is rumored to be working on, right? It's just, you know, Microsoft instead. And what I find really interesting about the conversation you guys were having yesterday is that you guys didn't bring up the fact that even within Xbox One now, whether you have a One, an S, or an X, you almost undoubtedly have to have an external hard drive to manage all of your game downloads. So if that's the case, let's say I am the kind of person who is a diehard fan of Xbox Game Pass. And that's all I use. I don't buy brand new games at launch. I only wait until they come to streaming services and then I'll play them on my Game Pass. Or maybe I have my one game. So if I have the digital only version of Scarlet and then I have my external hard drive, which I plug in via USB, I mean, that could service a lot of gamers out there who aren't buying games to play in 4K, or who aren't buying, you know, tons of games a year, who are buying maybe one or two games a year at most.
Yeah. It's fascinating. And I think it's a, it's right now, obviously, not knowing what PlayStation's up to with whatever they're going to do with PlayStation 5, knowing what the Switch is, it speaks to what all these companies need is a way that I feel like with PlayStation and Xbox, right? This generation, they're just too similar, and they've always been super similar, but this time around they really are similar. Whereas, you know, PlayStation 3, at least it was like, well, it's running on the Cell processor for better or worse, and that's making this, you know, there was a difference there. Whereas, like, for most people, when they look at these boxes, it is like, well, this is cheaper, for a long time PlayStation's cheaper, so I'm gonna get that, my friends have it, it's more popular, which just led to them getting left behind. Whereas you see the Switch come out and be a gangbuster success, right? Because, hey, we're doing something incredibly different, and it could be a novelty, but you're embracing it, and it's not. It's the same thing here, where maybe this is, you know, again, what I've been talking about, Xbox laying this foundation of like, hey, we have all this awesome stuff, and for just $99, for us $125, you are part of our ecosystem, and you have access to pretty much everything. It's going to be fascinating to see what happens when it happens, but who knows? Andrew?
Yes.
Before we go anywhere else into the future of consoles, let's talk about right now.
Okay.
Nick from good old New Zealand writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hey, Greg and Andrea, with all the talk of next-gen consoles, what has defined this current generation for you guys? And what would you like next-gen to advance in or move forward for gaming? Big question.
This was an easy one for me to think of. This generation, to me, was absolutely defined by VR. Virtual reality happened exclusively in this generation in the form that it exists today. Like, I'm not talking about fucking Virtual Boy or any of that bullshit, right? Like, you know, we're talking about Oculus Rift, HTC Vive, and PSVR from a gaming perspective. And I 100% define that with this generation that we're at. Despite the fact that only one of those is on a console generation, the other two are PC. But, I mean, when I think about, you know, where games are right now, that's what I think of.
it's interesting. I caught this one an hour ago, whatever, when I was building the show. And so the first thing that jumped to mind for me is a cheat that leads into a bigger one. But for me, it's Twitch. And it was the fact of, it seems so stupid now, but I remember when getting the PlayStation 4 and being just having the camera and being like, holy shit, I'm live on Twitch. You know what I mean? I don't need an AVR card set up to this thing, an HDMI splitter. Totally. Why is there lag? Why is this happening? Blah, blah, blah. And I still do it to this day every so often where I'll click it on and just go with that kind of stream because it's easy and I'm lazy and I'm at home versus here with the whole suite.
And that's why the PlayStation Eye camera was sold out when PS4 launched, because people were using it to stream directly from the box to Twitch.
Exactly. And so that's what speaks to me. But then what it really leads into for a bigger thing, I would think, is what had been prophesized forever, what Xbox said and kind of fucked them up with the Xbox One, but PlayStation didn't. But what happened was the boxes becoming the hub of the living room where everything goes through it. You know what I mean? To not have cable anymore and come home and be like, cool, PlayStation turns on and I'm into Hulu. No, I'm into Netflix. No, I'm into Amazon. I'm into Twitch. I'm watching live things happen. Like getting obsessed with Octopath Traveler and Fortnite on Switch, I haven't played a game on my PlayStation in a couple weeks. It just gets turned on to watch content while I screw around or what in between Fortnite sessions or something. And that's cool and awesome. And it speaks to the interactivity. And we've always had, you know, PlayStation 3, you saw what your friends were doing. And obviously there was Netflix on PlayStation, but there's something about this where it does, everything feels more alive, where it does feel more in the moment of, I jump on and I see you playing Destiny, but I also see someone doing Netflix and I'm doing this. And then Kevin will text me about jumping over and playing Fortnite. And it's just, everything seems so much more of a living world in these online communities where we're getting more information, where we're getting more content in just different ways than I ever expected, if that makes sense.
It does.
All right, good. I never know when I talk, if I'm just being crazy
or if it's
the glue speaking.
What?
Maybe both. Maybe both.
Yeah, maybe they're both.
Are you saying me or are you?
No, I was talking about sniffing glue. It's a joke about drugs. Speaking of, Whisper writes in to kindafunny.com/KFGD and says, hey, Greg and Andrew, bit of a different question for you. In regards to the whole James Gunn incident over the weekend, do you ever worry or have you started to worry about the jokes you make or the things you say on YouTube having an effect on the more professional, parentheses, for lack of a better word, side of the job, such as hosting panels or at Comic-Con or E3? Not that I ever think either of you or any other kind of funny employee would intentionally say something racist or homophobic or etc. But as with the James Gunn tweets, they can be taken and made to look worse than they are. I also know the gaming industry is overall a more mature industry than the movie industry, which I don't know if I agree
false.
With Wispa.
That's false.
But with seeing how social media now is the second highest cause of celebrities losing their jobs, I think things will only become more common. Thanks, Wispa. Of course, if you're not versed in the James Gunn stuff, we just did a whole segment on the Kinda Funny Morning Show. I urge you to go there. It's an interesting topic or conversation. But I assume you know James Gunn put out tweets a decade ago. This guy called them all out to Disney. He's the guy behind the Pizzagate stuff. He's alt-right. And then Disney fired him. And then everybody's fucking mad about everything. I digress about all that. Like I said, that's on the morning show. You can go there or read a ton of great articles about it. Andrea, do you worry now about what you say and how you act on the line?
I've worried about it since I started doing this, back in 2006, you know? And I mean, I've been reading YouTube comments for a decade. Mm-hmm. And of course I'm always concerned when people take what I say out of context. And it's happened to me many, many, many times. I mean, when you work online, people want to attack you. Just this morning, I was looking at a video somebody made of me that was really hateful and terrible. It's just like that should exist. But when it comes to, you know, the words that you actually say being, you know, viewed by different people, it's like some of the best advice I got was from my dear friend, Mr. Garnett Lee, who invited me to be on his show, Weekend Confirmed, back in the day. And I was like super like green back then.
Sure.
And particularly in podcast format. And I remember I got really distraught because I had said something on the show and a bunch of people had like written in and were very angry because I had not explained myself clearly. Mm-hmm. I'd not made my point succinctly or efficiently or whatever qualifier words you want to use. I screwed it up what I was trying to say.
Sure.
And so he was trying to reassure me that he's like, it's fine, it's going to blow over. He's like, but the important like takeaway from this is that it doesn't matter what your intentions are. Mm-hmm. What matters is the perception of what you've said and what that perception is to each person who's, you know, read or listened to what you said.
Yeah.
He's like, so keep in mind, you know, whenever you're speaking, that what you're saying is 100% going to be taken out of context by somebody.
Yeah.
Because we just all struggle to communicate. That's part of the human condition, is this need and desire to be able to communicate better with each other. But we just all struggle with it. Think about your day-to-day life with your family or your partners or your friends, and how fights that we've all had because we didn't communicate correctly with that person, and they took what we said the wrong way. And you're like, but I didn't mean that. And you're like, but this is what how I feel, and I'm mad, right? Like, that's part of being human. And that's even more so for people like us who are on the internet, and we're speaking to thousands, if not millions, of people who are undoubtedly taking what we said the wrong way.
Yeah.
And that's a tough spot to be in. And there is a level of personal responsibility with the words that you say when you have a microphone and a platform.
Sure.
That being said, we all make mistakes. We all screw up, and I believe that there is redemption that should be on the table for everybody. But if what you have said is very clearly hate speech, then I'm kind of like, why did you say that in the first place?
Yeah.
I would have to really hear a compelling argument for why you said something hateful as to why I shouldn't be mad that you're being hateful. You know, like the gray area is massive there. Right. But I think that, you know, particularly in this context, I see both sides of the arguments in the James Gunn incident as to why people are very upset and why people are like, this was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
He apologized for it. It was a different time. He was doing it and like because he was going into comedy and blah, blah, blah. All the reasons. The edge, right.
Yeah,
like I can see the arguments from both sides. I still haven't decided how I feel about it.
Sure. I mean, for what we do in podcasting and all stuff, whisper worry isn't the right word. I'm aware of it, right? And I feel like the only thing I can do, and the same thing I've talked about for forever, right, is that all we do is deal in authenticity. And so that's why if I've said something or done something, I own it. And you know what I mean? And whether that's going to be a position I said about a movie or a game that I stand by now, or maybe I have changed because of X, Y, and Z, we're going to have a conversation about it. And so, yeah, I'm sure that if you go through my 11 and a half years now of podcasting, you're going to dig up old IGN podcasts where I say horrible things because I'm young and I don't know any better. And it's the same story I've told. And I know I tell the same stories all the time. I'm just becoming Kevin Smith of the video game world lately. But like, you know how when I went to college, I thought calling things gay was okay because I didn't know anybody who was out. It turned out I knew gay people that didn't tell me they were gay in high school, right? But you threw that around. You threw around the F word there. And it wasn't until you meet somebody who's a friend who's like, you know what you're saying? Why are you saying that? Don't say that. You're like, oh, fuck, I never thought about it in that. So I'm sure as I've become more and more aware of different human beings and what they face and what they say, and like I'm sure that I've used horrible things. I'm not worried about that. Like, I'm not worried about these being skeletons in my closets on old podcasts because they're there and I said it. And if anybody ever wants to have a conversation about it, we'll have a conversation about it. And I would hope that in the 11 and a half years since then, whatever you're finding about it, you'd see this evolution of it. And I've known from the start of, I should say it started kind of funny, really, of anything can be taken out of context. And that's the biggest problem. If somebody went back and finds something that I said and did this way or whatever, if they don't go to get a comment from me, right, then yeah, it looks terrible on just black and white page. I would hope that I've done well enough in my life and built an audience enough in my life that would be, if that went up and it was on Reset Era, Greg Miller in 2007 said, that there would be people who are like, I've never listened to this guy. I never liked him. He fucking sucks. This just confirms what I think. I would hope that there's not going to be the army of Kind of Funny fans ready to fight as much as being there and be like, well, this is a decade ago and he's talked about this, that, and the other since then. He's done these things since then. And that's something you just have to be aware of and ready to go no matter what. And that's something that's happened before. And what you're saying, whatever we've said and done, we've said and done. And you have to evolve and change from that. So I don't worry about it. Into your question of like, and especially it's like, let's take it like, forget 11 and a half years ago, let's talk about now, right? Like, to this day on Kind of Funny, like this is what you're talking about earlier, right? There's the boy orgy fucking band, the boy band, there's this, there's that. I say goofy horrible things all the time on XCU and Review or whatever, joking around. Like, we're entertainers, and depending on the context of it, obviously context is everything in humor. You get that or you don't get that, and maybe you like that or you don't like that. It's the same thing here of, I understand that, yes, I have said things on different shows as jokes that are too blue for company X, company Y, company Z, PR person, whatever, where they're like, oh man, that's great that they have an audience. We're not going to work with them. I understand that and I own that because, again, it comes back to authenticity. That we started Kind of Funny and we decided what Kind of Funny was going to be and we've gone and built that, right? Where, cool, we've made those choices as to what is acceptable and not acceptable on Kind of Funny. And if it's not acceptable for you, there's a question, a comment that comes up a lot on the subreddit and stuff where people aren't happy with the amount of games we play or the games we're playing or something like that. They didn't beat this and stuff. And I'll be like, it comes off too aggressive as we talk about, as we struggle to communicate of, well, I hope you find what you're looking for. I'm sorry, we're not it. And I mean it in the most sincere, genuine, I'm sorry, this isn't it. But people will take it as me throwing it in their face. When in reality, what I'm saying is, this is who we are and what we are and what we want this to be. And I can't sit there and with every one-off criticism try to mold and steer the ship, because then we're just lost at sea and we're going in a circle. So we have to go this way. And if that means that Company X will never work with us, that's totally fine. And I hope they find somebody great. If that means this person who, you know, doesn't share the same values, we get all the time, I wish you guys didn't curse in your shows so I could listen to them in the car with my kids. I get that. And I hope you find what you're looking for, because we can't do that. That's not who we are. And that's not the content we want to make. And that's what it all comes down to, is you just got to stand by what it is and be able to, if somebody does come up and like, you remember when you said that? Be like, yeah, and I'm a fucking idiot forever saying that. You know what I mean?
100%. And empathy is a learning process. I mean, I think we all start with a certain amount. And as we go out into the world and meet people from, you know, different places and different cultures and different backgrounds, you start to learn more about why it's important to always be aware that people have different perspectives and they see things in through a different lens.
And this is the problem right now, right, with online discourse, is the fact that I feel you say something, someone comes at you aggressively, and rather than try to talk it out, you plant your feet and this is my position and you're not going to move me. And that's where it all fucking falls apart, when we can't talk to each other. And I can't, if I'm going to be the Greg from 2007 that's throwing around, you know, I think it would be, and this is obviously, I'm going to use terms here that I wouldn't use anymore, right? And I'm telling you, I've grown since then. But I remember when we first started at IGN, when I first started at IGN in 2007, right? We went to Edna's Ichiban Library all the time, which was this karaoke bar in Filipino karaoke bar hosted by transvestites in South City. And we loved it and we thought it was amazing and they were amazing, yada, yada. But I know for a fact when we would talk about it, we would say trannies. And it wasn't, hey, we're trying to be offensive and grind. It was that we had no fucking clue at the time that that was offensive. You know what I mean? I had never been exposed to that. The people who were my seniors at IGN who were taking me to this thing, we were all hanging out and talking about it. What a great time was it? They didn't know. It was a different time. And mm-hmm. I'm not saying that makes it okay. I mean, I look back, I'm like, oh, fuck, I can't believe we did that. But it's so similar to everything you see now of just not understanding what it's like to be a transgender person. And the amount of times that I've said, I don't want to fuck it up right now, but I will fuck it up right now. Can you help me with this? I've called people, when I'm talking about transgender, transgendered. And I've been told, don't say that because it makes it seem like it happened to them or something. There's a better term they want to be known as for, or something.
Maybe somebody can write
in. You're wrong.
Yeah.
Of course, we have a live thing for a reason, right?
I'm not the person to make this call.
But this
if I knew, I would tell you, but I don't.
But this is the whole thing, right? If that is like right now what I'm talking about back then. Mm-hmm. Of it's cutting edge and I'm trying to be better and I want to take in those. I don't want to alienate somebody on something that I'm not trying to offend anybody by. You know what I mean? I don't want that. I want to be inclusive. I want to understand that. And it's the same way for it was so hard for me as somebody who got a journalism degree in 2005 that it was like, all right, cool, like they and them is now an okay pronoun for a singular person. I'm like, no, it isn't, like that's not how it works. And then it's like, well, no, this is why. And you're like, okay, I get it, it's not just a grammar thing, I gotta stop being like that. But be better to each other. That's the long answer here, long answer. So I guess that's the short answer to my long thing. You know what I'm saying, Andrew?
I know exactly what you're saying.
Let's end on a fun one instead of a serious one. Frank writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, with the upcoming Spider-Man launch, I've decided to take the day off work. I gave the reason as, quote, an old friend was in town, parentheses, which, if I'm being honest, isn't 100% untrue. My question is, did you ever take work/school off for something game related, and was it worth it? Thanks for everything you do, Frank in Ottawa. Andrea?
Never.
Are you fucking kidding me? Wow. Never? Really?
No.
Wow.
Never.
Even now?
Well, now I well, we none of us take days off.
Now I have to build it into my schedule because it's part of my job, which is different. But before I worked in video games, I never took school or work off.
Dude, every
I could never justify it.
Greg, didn't you take off work to play Division when you got the Division art, or was it Destiny?
And that was just a weekend of Destiny that,
no,
that happened.
I think that like you took a day off that day.
Did I?
Yeah, and okay. Like you came back and we I believe like, you. Oh,
the
you
ones that for immediately jump out to me were the wrestling games. Back in high school, or like yeah, high school really, when it would be like when it was WrestleMania 2000, when it was No Mercy, when it was SmackDown, that game I would drop. I would call Walmart all week long until they got it, and I would do it. And I was like, Mom, I'm not going to school on Friday. And she'd be like, all right, cool. Like, she knows I get my work done. I try real hard. This just matters a lot to me. You know what I mean? And it would just be life shut down. I slept downstairs next to the N64 to wake up and play more of it. Like, that. Those are the ones that really stand out to me. I know I've done it with other stuff, too. I quit piano lessons because I got a Prince of Persia on PlayStation 2. I was like, well, fuck the piano. This is way better. You know what I mean? Like, what's fucking doing? It's a good way to live. Get out there and do it. Enjoy Spider-Man. Andrea, it's time to squad up.
Let's do it.
This is where one of you writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. Today, in the name field, they wrote Rock Voice. It doesn't matter what my name is. They need help on Switch. What's their username on Switch? They write, I will never remember my friend's code. Okay, great. What's going on with this thing is this. The only two people I'm trying to squad up with is Andrew Goldfarb and you, Greg Miller. I want to play Persona 5 on the Switch. As a father of two, playing games on the couch has become more common than playing games on the TV. That's what he says. I truly feel that if you were able to take PS5 on the go, like you could with Golden, you would have been all over it. I agree with you. I'd still be playing it like I am Octopath Traveler. So, give up on bitch-ass Patapon 6 or whatever number it is on and fight the good fight for Persona 5 on the Switch. We all know the Switch can run it. Parentheses, it released on PlayStation 3. And it would be perfect. I'm sure Atlas loves money, so what the fuck are they waiting for? According to IGN's very own Per Schneider, Persona 5 was ranked 13 as far as traffic in the last 30 days. So Greg, call Goldfarb and you two join forces like Batman and Robin or Superman and his dumb dog to get this shit done. Thanks for listening. And if any KFBF want to join this noble cause, follow me on Twitter @the_othercoast. P.S. You're the goat heart. So there you go. @the_othercoast is starting a Persona 5 revolution on the Switch. If you want to join them, give them a follow. Andrea.
Yes.
We ask people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong and tell us what we screw up as we screwed up. What do we get wrong today?
Today, Lord of Pwn, I'm reading this because you are a regular contributor and I respect what you do for us at Kind of Funny Games Daily.
But he wrote a novel.
He said an upside down triangle is still just a triangle.
Oh my God.
He's listen, right. He's got you right.
Well, of course, but the point of me saying it's upside down is to give a visual representation of what it looks like for people who are listening on podcast services who aren't watching at youtube.com/kindoffunnygames.
I mean, okay? Nail on the head though.
Okay.
Good job, Lord of Pwn.
No, that's not a good one. It was good information.
It. He nailed it.
No, he's being a picky Pete, and I don't like picky Pete.
The man reports the facts as they lay.
This is why in Capitalist Pig we trust.
The People's Champ says, Hello Games has apologized for the state of No Man's Sky at launch, but they haven't ever apologized for statements made in interviews about multiplayer and being able to find other players at launch. I mean, is that not part of the state of No Man's Sky at launch?
Help, Andrea!
I'm just
Andrea
saying.
Laid you out.
Oh shit!
Get the smelling salts. We got a knockout.
I feel like the umbrella encompasses that. Just you know.
I like umbrellas.
Sir Smith, you think you're being funny? You're not. I'm not even reading your thing.
Dang.
Charles J.
I love when Andrea just takes no sass.
Not wrong, but you don't know who Bud Spencer and Terrence Hill are? ?
Oh, we got a 70-year-old viewer.
Clearly we did not know. Capitalist Pig says, re-slap some beans. It's got a platinum. So there you go. 35 total, 1 plat, 5 gold.
I meant like, I wanted like, is it easy? Yeah, but no big deal. I'll figure that out on my own. Slaps and beans!
Zyger says, in new releases, Greg forgot to mention Hammond the Hamster was released early today as the new tank hero in Overwatch.
My apologies, Zyger. I didn't mean to get in the way of
Hashtag
whatever.
Hashtag Overwatch news matters, Greg.
Overwatch news you need to do. Zyger, you now have permission to tweet me all the Overwatch news you want in the mornings when I'm gathering stories.
Oh my gosh, the smell of the Sharpie is wafting.
It's a big suit rant symbol today. Sorry.
guys huffing Sharpies?
Zyger also
is
says...
Is this a whippet?
No. Also, part of new releases, Fortnite updated the purple slurps. Instead of doing 25 shields and 25 health, they got buffed and now do 75.
Oh, no shit! Extra. Kevin booted up!
No extra timer, still 1 point per second, and now it's 75. DH Canada chimes in on the platinums for Slaps and Beans and says they do not look that easy.
Damn it.
With a lot of, quote, don't get hit while doing something trophies.
Fuck that. I don't want that.
One is called Batman.
Okay.
Saying to do three Batman attacks, which seems like copyright infringement.
Nobody's looking at the trophy list. DC Comics, Warner Brothers, they ain't looking.
Arvel... crying it. I don't know what that says. But Bud Spencer and Terrence Hill are big in Europe, especially in Italy and Germany. Most of their movies contain a lot of fist fights and are always combined with a distinct slapping noise. In most of their Western movies, they are eating lots of bacon and beans for breakfast, which should be the basis for each breakfast. That's where the slaps and beans are coming from.
Beans.
Lord of Pwn. Greg was wrong for assuming Andrea would have taken a day off. You don't get the title busiest lady in the business by taking days
off. Great point.
Off.
Great point.
It's true.
Well played.
So now Pwn is right.
Hey, you know what? Everyone can redeem themselves.
I'm just saying, a triangle doesn't have an up.
Charles J says, I believe the Destiny time off Kevin refers to is when Greg needed a Wednesday off and just played Destiny 2 and posted a selfie with his morning stubble after playing 8 hours straight. I have a weird memory. I know.
Good job.
Good job, man.
Yeah. There you go.
Not creepy
so you
at all.
Totally took a day off.
No, I believe it.
I mean, I remembered it too.
Okay, Kev, man. Oh, you're never wrong. Is that what you want to hear, Kev? You're never wrong. 100%. You're perfect. I love you. You're my true north. You're my true north. Are you done?
No, I'm reading through this trans write-in to make sure it's safe to read
through it real quick.
I think it is.
Okay.
Okay, so this is from Jilly Neutron, who writes, trans is an umbrella term that can be used to describe many different identities. The broad term to use to describe anyone who is transgender is a trans person or multiple trans people. If a person was assigned male at birth but identifies as female, they are a trans woman. If the person was assigned female at birth but identifies as male, they are a trans man. If someone does not identify with either the male or female gender, they are a non-binary person. The singular they, them you are talking about. There are other terms that people use based on personal preferences, but those are the basics.
Got you. That was it. He nailed it there with it. If they're transgender. Mm-hmm. And I was saying if they're transgendered. I was told a faux pas as well.
Yes, it is considered offensive.
Cool. Now we're good?
Now we're good.
One thing for you. I have a required reading, but we're running late. I want you to go over to Kotaku.com and read I Can't Bring Myself to Delete the Sim of My Ex. It's written by Gita Jackson. I enjoyed it quite a bit. It's a heartfelt read there about something she's going through. So go check that out. Kotaku.com. I Can't Bring Myself to Delete the Sim of My Ex. This has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Then watch us record it live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Watch it later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Or listen on podcast services around the globe. Yesterday, I lied to you. Thank you, Kevin. It turns out tomorrow's host is going to be Jared Petty. He has switched days with Gary Whitta so that he can just come in, do games daily, and then do the games cast with us in the afternoon as well. But don't worry. Whitta Thursday will roll on. Andrea, I forget. Are you in any more this week? Or are you gone? Is this one of those weeks?
I leave tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Everybody?
And then we're off next week.
I know. It's going to be a long time. Except I'll see you at RTX.
It's true. Yeah. RTX, man. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
I'm throwing myself a birthday party there.
Oh, cool. That's awesome. Can I come?
Yes, of course you can come.
Can they come?
Of course they can come.
Okay, cool.
Don't worry, we're going to put the details up on my Twitter and also on the What's Good_Games account.
Right. So. Ladies and gentlemen, until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.